This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi. I want to let you know that I have a bacterial infection in my lungs. So I'm sorry if I sound like shit while talking. But that's kind of what's been happening. I'm on day 8 of it. So yeah, that's where we're at.
I'm still in my spiraling mental health, but things are getting better. Things are moving. Fingers crossed that stuff with a house is like, it's looking really good. And I don't want to like put too much pressure on the world and be like, yes, 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 for sure. But things are moving and it is looking really, really good.
Yay.
In theory, we might be moving in a month.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
If everything keeps on going. I also had to get my IUD replaced.
Just a painful existence for women everywhere.
And dear God, it's not fair. Yeah, it's not fair at all.
I was like, go home and take a bath and make Mike do everything for you.
And he did. It was incredible. But yeah, it's just, I think like I said this to Ashley in text and like to a lot of our friends, like what really gets me is just not like just the pain of like getting it replaced, but that like that this is what we have to do. Like we have to go through this pain to like to know that we'll be in control of our bodies for a foreseeable amount of time.
Yeah.
Oral birth control is month to month. That can be taken away from you. You know, there are just, this is the best way for me to ensure that my birth control outlasts whatever next president we get. And the fact that, like, I have to think like that, we have to think like that is disgusting. Mm. And it kept me in tears all day yesterday.
Aww, Katie.
Fortunately, I'm through that. Now my cramps are gone. Bless everyone who sent well wishes and let me just sleep and cry to them. Needless to say, I'm sure from the title of this episode, y'all know we're not talking about Scientology yet again.
I was like, you know what? I can pull something together for us today.
Ashley being the gem that she is, who also I just want to point out is just as busy as I am. Like, I talk a lot about how busy I am and how I can't get shit done. And a lot of times it implies that Ashley is not. She is so fucking busy. And still is, like, managing to, like, push through that to, like, have my back during my mental health spiral. So, like, everyone shout out to Ash. Because
thanks.
It's a big deal that, like, I wanted to acknowledge just us. But I was like, you know what? Actually, this deserves an on-air shout out, like an acknowledgement. And like, just a reminder, y'all, if they wanted to, they would.
We've talked about before how, I mean, I know this is just a friend. Well, it's not just a friendship. But I remember what the last time you were here, we were in the pool and I was like, this is the best friend relationship that I've ever had in my life. Like the most healthy one I've ever had.
For sure. Just knowing that you can like not just fall apart, but like just completely disintegrate and someone will be like, yeah, I will clean your place for you and I will get you coffee and I will handle every single task of yours that I possibly can.
Yeah.
And then still do all of mine so that I'm not behind and make you feel guilty later.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's big. So thank you. I love you. And
I love you.
Listeners, don't accept less from your friends or from the people that surround you. Mm-hmm. Everyone deserves this kind of friendship. So.
Right. And let's be honest, I didn't used to have that high of friendship standards, but we have both done a lot of growing mentally and emotionally recently. And I have very high standards now for my friendships.
Definitely. Definitely. And a lot of times people in like the world will make you feel like guilty or call you selfish for having those. But truly, it's not either of those things. And it's awesome and so important to surround yourself with people who genuinely uplift you, but also people who will be like, hey, I love you so much, but what was that?
Yeah.
What was that thing that you said or that you insinuated? Can we like unpack that a little bit? Because that wasn't cool. And maybe, you know, maybe we should talk about it. And being open to that is so big.
I think it's so interesting that you brought that up too, because I was just, I don't know, maybe it was in a TikTok or something I saw yesterday. But the idea of brutal honesty, I know that I've had people in my life before who were like, I'm being the best friend to you because I'm being brutally honest. Honesty does not have to be brutal. Honesty does not have to be mean. Honesty does not have to be rude. You can have those honest conversations with your friends without any of that demeaning behavior. And that's the kind of communication in a friendship that you should be looking for.
Absolutely. Honesty does not have to come with judgment. Those two do not have to come hand in hand. But people love to present brutal honesty like it's the only kind there is. Sir, you're not being brutally honest. You're being judgmentally honest.
You're being a dick.
Yeah. So just like, fuck off, please. Yeah. So I just wanted to give that little shout out because I have some pretty great people around me. And I've had a lot of listeners like reach out through Instagrams, and some people I've messaged back, some people I haven't, but thank you all for helping me kind of push through this. And I don't know if Mike will ever hear this because, you know, he listens when I record, but you know, thank you for doing an episode and just pushing through when I was like, yeah, I'm gonna give you guys one of my classic deep dives, and then I was like, just kidding, seasonal depression.
You're like, just kidding, the cyclical.
Just kidding, my cycle, it's time to crash.
My cyclical depression. And yay.
I forgot it was September. It's just so hot out. I thought it was still summer, but my brain it said, no, me. We know what month it is. I don't give a shit about the sun. It is time for your seasonal depression anyway.
Time for the big sad.
Bring in the big one. Yeah, so I have more Scientology notes, some that, you know, just need to be like put into something that can be an episode, but there is more information there. I would regret if we didn't bring up now, though, the lovely information of Danny Masterson getting sentenced.
30 years.
30 fucking years, baby.
30 years, bro. Damn.
Like, chef's kiss. Gorgeous. Love to see it.
I didn't think it was going to be that much. I was honestly kind of shocked when I saw it, but like shocked in a good way.
Yeah. Dude, whoever gets in trouble for like rape that much when it's not also attached to serial killering, like theft, burglary, you know, bothering men, shit that the justice system cares about. Like, it's never people never get in trouble for rape ever.
It's never 30
years. This is amazing. It's never 30 years.
It's always, oh, but his swimming career.
It's always, but he has so much life ahead of him.
Right? Like, I'm so glad it's 30 years.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Love to see this happening at the same time as, like, some human trafficking shit going on with Scientology. Human trafficking allegations. David Miscavige, stay the fuck away from me. So, yeah, the information is still being put together. We're not just dropping that. This isn't Watergate. I'm not doing that to you guys again on Scientology.
Although we did recently have a listener reach out to us to ask if we were going to do a part two of Watergate. And I feel like we mentioned this in the JFK episodes, but there were two versions of part two. I can't remember what happened with the first one. It was just like really shitty quality or something. And then the first one
exists on my hard drive of the old computer from 2009 that I used to record on.
Mm-hmm.
And that computer just literally will. It is such a piece of shit that Apple wants me to pay them to get rid of it. They're like, it's going to cost money to turn this into something good, so you have to pay us. So that's where the first one is, and the second one just gone from existence.
Oh, wait. Wasn't that the one where we, in the middle of us trying to record it, it kept like, we kept having like technological difficulties and we were like, oh my fucking God, they don't want us to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. So someday, yes, we will give you a Watergate part two. Although Katie does a very quick, hilarious summation of the rest of it in one of the JFK episodes. Can't tell you which one. You're just going to have to listen and find out if you haven't already.
Yeah, I also couldn't tell you which one and I wrote those notes, but it's somewhere. Somewhere in there.
I actually do find it so funny. Sorry if y'all can hear the train right now. I live two blocks from it. I do think it's so funny that you just brought up Watergate because whoever brought up Watergate, I don't know. I've been delirious for 8 days, but it does get mentioned in my notes today, which is funny.
Yes.
Yes. So speaking of those notes, why don't we move along into it?
Hell yeah.
We're always talking about staying informed and educating ourselves. I mean, it's literally the entire basis of this podcast.
It's the whole thing.
The whole thing. So today I want to talk to you about how you were able to make requests for official documents so that you can keep yourself informed.
Yes.
Katie's
I'm
excited.
So pumped. I've always wanted to know how to do this, but it seems really complicated and overwhelming.
And you know what? That's what I also thought too before I looked into this. And I feel like we're probably not the only ones. And it's not at all as complicated as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, sweet.
And so I was like, you know what? Let's share this information and Hell some of yeah. the background on it. So we're going to be talking about the Freedom of Information Act, or as I'm going to call it for the rest of the episode, FOIA. Because that's a mouthful. The intention of FOIA was for U.S. government agencies to function more transparently and make it easier for the public to identify issues within how the government is functioning and to allow the ability to pressure Congress, agency officials, and the president to address said issues. There was public pressure for more transparency after incidents such as Watergate and the Vietnam War.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. While the most commonly known use of FOIA is by news organizations for reporting purposes, those actually make up less than 10% of all requests made. The majority are made by businesses, law firms, and individuals.
Huh.
Right? I've always thought about it in the aspect of news broadcasts, newspapers needing to get that information to continue their broadcasts and their articles, but it's very interesting yeah. that's less than 10% of all the requests made.
Wow.
Originally, FOIA was part of Section 3 of the Administrative Procedure Act. That section was enacted in 1946. Back then, it gave agencies a wider range of discretion of the publication of records, and there were concerns that it had become less of a way to disclose information to the public and more of a way to withhold information from the public. In 1966, Congress amended the section into an independent act to apply a full disclosure philosophy within government agencies.
Were they nervous because it was like, we shouldn't have to apply for these records, you should just tell us?
Kind of.
Is that like kind of what they were thinking?
Well, especially after Watergate, think of all of the information that was being hidden, all of these things that people needed to know about or should be allowed to know about, like the general public, just mm-hmm. as a way for the government to actually be more transparent in how they work for us.
Yeah, because I just like I'm always kind of been like, why don't you just put this shit out there for us to find? Why do we have to apply?
As I'll mention a little later on, they do now have information that is readily available on a lot of the agency's websites that you can look through for yourself, but there are some things still that need to be requested. And I'll even talk about like the requests that I make in my own life through my
Sweet.
Through work. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The amendment also required that the procedural rules of the agencies be published in the Federal Register. Now, I have no idea what the fuck the Federal Register is, so for anyone else who doesn't know, it is, quote, an official journal of the United States that contains government agency rules, proposed rules, and public notices. It is published weekly except on federal holidays, end quote. I got that from Wikipedia. It also requires, quote,
upon any request for records, to make such records promptly available to any person, end quote. That's coming from FOIA directly. The district court has the ability to order the production of any documents that an agency improperly withholds. And the act itself applies specifically to only government agencies that fall under the executive branch. There are consequences for agencies that hinder the process of a petition for information. Quote, agency personnel acted arbitrarily or capriciously with respect to the withholding, the special counsel shall promptly initiate a proceeding to determine whether disciplinary action is warranted against the officer or employee who is primarily responsible for the withholding, end quote. That's coming from FOIA. However, there are 9 exemptions within the Act that address sensitivity of information and personal rights. So they are, 1, specifically authorized under criteria established by an executive order to be kept secret in the interest of national defense or foreign policy, and are in fact properly classified pursuant to such executive order.
That's a lot of the JFK shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of it is not being released under national security.
Mm-hmm. 2, related solely to the internal personnel rules and practices of an agency. 3, specifically exempted from disclosure by statute, provided that such statute requires that the matters be withheld from the public in such a manner as to leave no discretion on the issue, or establishes particular criteria for withholding or refers to particular types of matters to be withheld. It's like so much legal jargon, but the gist of most of it is like, some of this stuff is probably too sensitive for the public to know, and we don't want our enemies to know. We need to make sure that there's like hard lines there on what is being withheld and what can be shared. 4, trade secrets and commercial or financial information obtained from a person and privileged or confidential.
Okay.
5, interagency or intraagency memoranda or letters which would not be available by law to a party other than an agency in litigation with the agency. So if it's like part of a court proceeding or any kind of litigation. And needs to be not shared with the public for reasons of that litigation.
Okay.
6, personnel and medical files and similar files, the disclosure of which would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. So, you know, anyone who works at the agency and their personnel and medical files, like, clearly that is personal information that should not be shared.
Yeah, a lot of the JFK stuff that's redacted is, like, names of people or locations and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Number 7 is very long-winded. Bear with me because I might have to pause to cough.
Okay.
7, records of information compiled for law enforcement purposes, but only to the extent that the production of such law enforcement records or information could reasonably be expected to interfere with enforcement proceedings, would deprive a person of a right to a fair trial or an impartial adjudication, could reasonably be expected to constitute an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy, could reasonably be expected to disclose the identity of a confidential source, including a state, local, or foreign agency or authority or any private institution which furnished information on a confidential basis, and in the case of a record or information compiled by a criminal law enforcement authority in the course of a criminal investigation or by an agency conducting a lawful national security intelligence investigation, information furnished by a confidential source would disclose techniques and procedures for law enforcement investigations or prosecutions, or would disclose guidelines for law enforcement investigations or prosecutions if such disclosure could reasonably be expected to risk circumvention of the law or could reasonably be expected to endanger the life or physical safety of an individual. Whew, that was a fucking long one. That is the longest run-on fucking sentence ever.
Yeah. Wow.
There were no periods in that, but essentially that is in cases of law enforcement doing their job and keeping confidential sources and things like that safe and not public, because that could then risk their life. Things like that is what they would hold back.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
They could have just said that.
Bro. When I saw how, when I tell you, literally that is, hold on. Yeah, that's one fucking sentence, I believe. One whole sentence in that whole thing that I just read. Number 8, contained in or related to examination, operating, or condition reports prepared by, on behalf of, or for the use of an agency responsible for the regulation or supervision of financial institutions.
Hmm.
Which is very interesting because there are some financial institutions that are listed as agencies that you can request information from. So I guess it just depends on the information. 9, geological and geophysical information and data, including maps, concerning wells.
Hmm.
I know we're both just kind of looking at each other like, what?
What is
that one
mean?
Got me, dude. I was like, what? Even now, that's probably the 5th time I've read that information. And I'm like, why though?
Concern? That doesn't make any sense.
Concerning wells. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you on that one. It's there and I don't know why.
All right.
All right.
Super weird.
So what's in all the wells now? Now I want to know what's in the wells. What's beneath the wells? Now I'm going to go on a deep dive spiraling about wells.
Yeah. What did you put in the wells?
I need to know.
Shit. Is this some weird Goonies situation? Like,
you will not find our treasure.
Right? Like, what the fuck? So weird. Interesting. Very interesting.
Okay, government. As far as the release of information goes and the presumptive openness from government agencies, quote, FOIA provides that when processing requests, agencies should withhold information only if they reasonably foresee that disclosure would harm an interest protected by an exemption or if disclosure is prohibited by law. Agencies should also consider whether partial disclosure of information is possible whenever they determine that full disclosure is not possible, and they should take reasonable steps to segregate and release non-exempt information. The Office of Information Policy at the Department of Justice is responsible for issuing government-wide guidance on FOIA as part of its responsibilities to encourage all agencies to fully comply with both the letter and the spirit of FOIA. End quote. And that's from FOIA.gov. So pretty much they're like, even if you need to redact shit on papers, if there's information on a piece of paper that is allowed, just black out the shit that's not. That's pretty much what they're saying. If there's information in a document that is allowed to be shared, then you just need to redact and not disclose some of that information, but give the people what they can know.
That explains so much. Of some JFK pages.
Of the JFK papers.
That I've seen where it'll literally just be like basically a full page that's almost entirely redacted except for like 3 words where it's like Tuesday, John F. Kennedy, president. Like,
they're like, well, the rest of this you can't know, but this little tidbit we're allowed.
You can know these 4 words. Like... Okay, that explains so much.
Yeah. So the U.S. House Representative John Moss, a Democrat from California, who was chairman of the House Government Information Subcommittee and served from 1953 to 1978, was of the thought process that government information should be readily available to the public. He was a major proponent of pushing through the legislation, although it did take 12 years to get FOIA through Congress.
I didn't know it was 12 years.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of shocked, although I feel like I shouldn't have been. But I feel like I shouldn't have been. At the same time, there were also people like former President Lyndon B. Johnson who were outspoken in their beliefs that certain kinds of unclassified information should remain secret. I wonder why, LBJ.
I wonder what LBJ could possibly want.
Right? Hidden and kept secret from people. As if we didn't learn about how shifty you were in our JFK episodes.
Interesting that you would want things kept secret.
Interesting indeed. But even with the White House taking that stance, the 2-page bill was signed into law and enacted on July 4th, 1966, but wouldn't take effect until a year later, July 4th, 1967. And he did sign that bitch, so...
You know what? That's what I'm going to start celebrating on July 4th. I'm going to start celebrating the Freedom of Information Act.
Yes!
Fuck everything else. It's all mm-hmm. about the Freedom of Information Act now. It's all I care about now.
Oh, boy. The act was repealed once during that one-year period before it took effect. That was when Title V of the United States Code was enacted. Quote, the original Freedom of Information Act was replaced. A new act, enacted June 5th, 1967, repealed the original and put in its place a substantively identical law. This statute was signed on June 5th, 1967, and had the same effective date as the original statute, July 4th, 1967. End quote. Thank you, Wikipedia. Since its enactment, there have been several amendments and executive actions which have given more stipulations as to what constitutes exemptions and expansion of the release of previously classified national security documents more than 25 years old and of historical interest. Thanks, Bill Clinton, for that. Among other things. But what I really want to focus on today is how you actually go through the process of making a request. On the FOIA.gov website, there is a list of the federal agencies from which you can make your informational requests. You can look through the list in alphabetical order. There are a lot. So I'm just going to quickly mention some of the more well-known agencies.
Okay.
We have the CIA, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, a corporation for national and community service, which operates as AmeriCorps, Council on Environmental Quality, Defense Nuclear Facilities Safety Board, and then we have the departments of Agriculture, Commerce, Defense, Education, Energy, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, Housing and Urban Development, Justice, Labor, the Interior, the Treasury, Transportation, Veterans Affairs, Environmental Protection Agency, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, Export-Import Bank of the U.S., Federal Communications Commission, Federal Election Commission, Federal Reserve System, Federal Trade Commission, Institute of Museum and Library Sciences, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, National Archives and Records Administration, which is the one that I use a lot for work, National Science Foundation, National Transportation Safety Board, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Office of Government Ethics, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, Peace Corps, Securities and Exchange Commission, Social Security Administration, U.S. Commission of Civil Rights, U.S. Department of State, U.S. Election Assistance Commission, United States International Trade Commission, and the United States Postal Service. You can make a request for any agency record. You can also specify the format in which you want to receive the records, whether it be printed or electronic. FOIA does not require agencies to create new records or to conduct research, analyze data, or answer questions when responding to requests. They are to simply just give you the documents, give you the information. There's also no real general time frame in which it takes for the request to be processed. I've made requests through the National Archives many times for work to get access to a deceased individual's veterans records and discharge paperwork. Sometimes it takes a week. Sometimes it takes a month. Sometimes it's longer. Yeah.
Damn.
And to be honest with you, right now, there is on the National Archives website, they have a notice that they are backlogged by like thousands of requests. But there are requests that are a little bit simpler for them. So when I'm requesting someone's DD-214, which is their discharge paperwork, and I'm giving them as much information as I can on that person, it's pretty easy for them to find that, which is why sometimes it only takes a week, depending on the amount of information you can give them. From the FOIA.gov website, it seems as though that it's pretty true across all agencies that there isn't really a set time frame. I took a look through some of the other agencies because I kind of went through like all the steps of making the request, and some of them literally say 1 week, and those are for like the smaller agencies, and then some of them are like a couple months. So it really varies across the board. You can use an agency's FOIA Requester Service Center to check on the status of a request and to find out if there's like other steps that you can take to speed the process up. And that should be on all of their websites.
Oh, cool.
Before you make a request, you can use FOIA's website to search across all of the agencies at once for a specific document or information. That is found under the Before You Request tab. That is for all of the information information that they actually just have out there in their website for the public to view. They also suggest figuring out exactly which agency you need the information from before making a request. On the USA.gov website, there's actually a list of topics and services, and then that will bring you to which agency you need to be requesting things from. Obviously, everything that I mention here in this episode is going to be linked in our show notes, and I'll also add it to our website. You will use the Create a Request tab on the FOIA website to make the actual request. First, they ask for the agency, and once you select that, a button will appear below to start a request. And the process literally is your contact information, information about your request, any other additional information you can think of, fees. I don't know which ones require a fee and which ones don't. When I make requests through the National Archives, we don't have to pay like a fee or anything, so I can't really tell you guys exactly what costs are for that kind of stuff. Request, expedited processing, review, and then submit. So if you have the time, it's honestly a relatively simple process to gain access to information that we should all be able to have knowledge of. You know, it's not too complicated. Here in New Jersey, for all of our Jersey listeners, we have our own version of this. It's called the Open Public Records Act, or OPRA. According to the New Jersey State League of Municipalities, the Open Public Records Act, quote, popularly known as the Sunshine Law, which I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't fucking know that it was called that, or that people nicknamed it that. Literally have never heard anyone call it that. In all of my like political stuff, we literally just refer to it as OPRA. But I digress. It was approved on October 21st, 1975, and became effective on January 19th, 1976. OPRA was enacted in response to growing public cynicism about politics and distrust of the government in the wake of, you guessed it, the Vietnam War and Watergate. The intent of the Sunshine Law was to have government meetings conducted in the open to the greatest extent possible, consistent with public interest and without invading individual privacy, end quote. It all leads back to Watergate and the Vietnam War.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a bad time where there was a lot of propaganda and bullshit from our government. So, of course, people didn't trust them. I still don't.
Yeah, why would they? Why would they?
During our campaign this year and last year, there have been several occasions where we have wanted on the record information from specific dates of borough council meetings. We have to submit an OPRA request for that information if for some reason it's not publicly available through the town's website, which sometimes it's not. Just like with FOIA, the OPRA request needs to be made to the state agency that is the holder of the information. There's a list of agencies to choose from on the NJ.gov website. Say you want information from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. You will choose the state request form link on the OPRA page of the NJ.gov website. Choose that department in the drop-down box, and you'll be brought to an online records request submission form. It is so important for all of us to know as much information as we can and to make sure that we're holding our government agencies and officials accountable to make them work for us as they should. I hope if you are in need of information that this episode was helpful in teaching you a little bit more about how the process works and kind of makes it seem less daunting than I think maybe some of us thought it would be.
Absolutely. This is so much more chill than I thought it was. Like, I can't wait to start requesting information.
I know, right? I was like, damn, there are so many agencies. Please, I want to request so much shit from NASA.
Oh my God, same. Holy shit, I want to know everything.
That is our spreading of knowledge information episode today. I hope you guys liked it.
I loved it. That was awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Yes, we will. We'll see what it's about.
Yeah, we'll find out next week. Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.